Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for coming out to another KM to 2 a.m. On the Fan in New York. You know, getting ready for Thanksgiving Eve. The drinks and the reunions and the, you know, breaking bread and giving thanks. Getting ready for the holiday vibes and positivity and a holly jolly Christmas. I won't call it the most wonderful time. The most wonderful time has already passed. That's when we have the sports equinox, you know, early October, where there's the NFL and there's postseason baseball and the NBA is starting, NHL is starting. That time has passed. But man, how quickly it expired for our NFL teams here in East Rutherford, New Jersey, New York. How quickly the season ended, and it's just like now we're in this miserable state again where, like, a lot of times misery loves company, and they do this in tandem. They're laughing stocks of the league together a lot. And so today the Giants met the media, and you just heard a little bit of Tommy DeVito speaking, and I want to play Tommy DeVito basically letting you know when he found out he would be QB1. And then also Drew Locke talking about him learning that he would stay as QB2. And I think you just heard Dexter Lawrence. We'll start to introduce the New York Football Giants conversation. And what I'll say about it is, you know, reiterating it again. You know, like, they're not just benching Daniel Jones for poor play. And we all knew it was inevitable that they would have to sit him down to not trigger that injury clause in his contract. But man, they have reduced their number 6 overall pick. They have reduced their $40 million a year quarterback who last won them a playoff game 2 seasons ago to now just being a guy. Now just being a guy in practice that they say, sit on the side, get out of the way, don't hurt yourself. 888-808-1019. And it's crazy to see. It's the right thing to do, but it is crazy to see after a year where we see the first ever off-season hard knocks, and they basically tell you everything you need to know. How they handled the Saquon situation, how they handled the draft, and what they were trying to do in the draft, trying to get a quarterback. Joe Shane's son told him, Jaden Daniels was the truth. Go get Jaden Daniels. And yeah, I think we will hear from Daniel Jones at some point, maybe tomorrow. And later I'll start to talk about this matchup against the Bucks. Like, I don't know. I think you're wilding if you're thinking that Tommy DeVito is about to... I don't know. Let's go to Tommy DeVito and play the rest of the audio that we have. You just heard a little bit in the update with Marco. Let's play the rest of Tommy DeVito being asked about, you know, being back in the saddle as the Giants QB1.
Yeah, I found out Monday morning, kind of probably 5 minutes before you guys did. But yeah, it's been good. Everybody's been supportive. Just continuing to grind and get ready for Sunday. I wouldn't say surprise. I was open for all, you know, outcomes. You know, it's kind of something that I've been preparing for since last year. You know, you always say, like, stay ready even though you're quarterback 3. Like, stay ready. You never know. And, you know, it's kind of similar to last year. You never know. But continuing to work throughout this whole season so far, learn, practice, just make the most of it so that way when your opportunity comes, you'll be ready for it.
Yeah, I found out 5 minutes before y'all found out on Monday. They couldn't, come on, they were coming off the bye week. They couldn't have told Tommy D, I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to think. Because there's a conundrum here, right? Are they playing this guy because he gives them the best chance to win? Or are they playing this guy because they know they're not going to win either way, but they know they're going to lose. They're going to be in the best spot to draft Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or whoever in the next draft. 888-808-1019. I'm happy for the kid that he gets a sequel, take two. But I just, in my heart of hearts, I believe he was a one-trick pony last year. He burst on the scene last year. He was a great story last year. The sequel is almost never better than the original. Let's play Drew Locke, who literally signed here, right? And this might make other free agents weary of signing with the New York Giants by how they do business, right? When you go back to Hard Knocks, how pumped was Drew Locke to sign here? And then even when he came in, there was rumblings about what they sold him on. Are you competing with Daniel Jones? Are you going to start if Daniel Jones isn't prepared to play? Are you the backup or whatever? I mean, we never thought that he was signed for $5 million a year to be behind Tommy DeVito. Let's hear from Drew Locke himself.
You know, that's a question I might still have for myself. Noah's expressed to me that I was going to be the two. And I don't know, it's just an interesting situation. Not much I can really say about it besides, again, I'm gonna be here for him. And, you know, we're still communicating, still very good friends, believe it or not. I'm going to be here for him. This team needs to get a win, and we start winning, everything gets a little better around here.
Yeah, I mean, he's 9-14 as a starter. His greatest moment in the NFL was him being seen rapping Young Jeezy. I put on for my city. I put on. They just didn't know he was like that when he was in Denver. He beat the Eagles last year. But yeah, the first thing he said is, you know, that might be a question I might be asking myself. Like, why am I still the QB2? Why did I sign here? Coming off a year in the NFL where it was the year of the backup and the backup's backup quarterback. We saw third string quarterbacks playing all across the league last year. And Drew Locke could have signed anywhere. And he chose to come here behind an injury-prone Daniel Jones and an actually injured Daniel Jones that we weren't sure was going to be ready for training camp. He chose to sign here, and now he's not getting the opportunity. And that's another thing. I don't wish injury on anybody in any sport, especially football. I know what it's like. I mean, if Tommy DeVito does go down, Drew Locke, you're up. And Tim Boyle is signed. Tim Boyle, I got a ton of respect for Tim Boyle. He has finessed plenty of jobs in the NFL. Meanwhile, guys like Cam Newton couldn't get a job. Colin Kaepernick couldn't get a job. Think about how many quarterbacks were out of the league, couldn't get a job. And Tim Boyle is around. He's not getting a starting job, but he's around. And he's a guy that was not supposed to do anything in the NFL. 888-808-1019. So now we have the Juan Soto conversation in the air, really in regards to Hal Steinbrenner and what he had to say today. And I just introduced Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutledge, Drew Locke, Tim Boyle, and Daniel Jones is QB4 that they're literally not letting do any drills where he could potentially be hurt. That's crazy. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, good, good.
So I just want to first, you know, kind of clarify. I wasn't sure if you got what I was trying to say last night. Wasn't that when I was explaining why it's $23 million missing, why players should care? Not that because they care if their owner has more or less money, because you can get another player with that money. I was listening after. It didn't really fully sound like you got what I was trying to say.
Okay, right? Maybe if I guess players are thinking about the finances to bring in more talent. Sure, I got you. Claro.
And also, I understand those fans saying, why is Drew Locke here? He was there because just in case you started off 1-2 or 2-2, and then Jones got injured and you're
right,
still competing, that's what he was there for. DeVito is the guy that's making me look, I'm going to enjoy football, and I'm looking forward to the Giants game. for the first time since before they lost to the Cowboys. I was looking forward to Thursday Night Football. And then this is what DeVito's bringing to us. They want to sell tickets. This is how they're going to do it. Nobody's going to be happy if Drew Lock's playing.
That's going to evaporate in the first half. Thanks for the call, Josh. Mike Evans is back this week. The Buccaneers are coming off a bye as well. I think they lost four in a row. We'll get there. Let me get to my notes on that. Like, you're excited for the first time to see Tommy DeVito again? You guys forgot about Tommy DeVito last year. That's something else I did, too. Pull up the Tommy DeVito stats from last year. Like, I think we've been misled. He did make some plays, but, like, it wasn't like they won strictly because of his quarterback play, his clock management, his throws, the drives he put together. Really, that was on Wink Martindale and that Giants defense. That doesn't exist anymore. You remember? Remember? Rich in Corvallis, Oregon. You're on the fan all the way in New York.
Yeah, so I really did not expect to open up this call talking about centerfolds. And all the lovely ladies out there on
Have you been? Have you been?
Oh, yeah. So I might be rich from Corvallis, Oregon, but I'm really rich from Monmouth County. So, you know, that's where I'm from. This is where I live.
Yeah, I think it was Heartbreakers. Sort of Heartbreakers before it was Centerfolds.
Yeah, well, my boy Brandon's old girl used to dance out at Centerfolds for a hot minute. I mean, personally, I was always partial to Delilah's Den up in Sayreville.
I've played there as well. Actually, that was the first one I ever went to when I was 16.
Yeah, shout out to my girl Beth, who got us with the lifetime cover until she got fired.
Oh, they caught on to the game, huh? She was giving stamps and wristbands.
She was like the assistant manager or something, and then she got off. But me and my boy Brandon used to help her boy with some wrestling stuff when he was in middle school. So
good to know, Rich. I knew somebody out there heard me. I know somebody out there felt what I was saying.
Yeah. No, but my folks are out in Bradley Beach, so I drive by the Asbury Circle on the regular now.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm calling in. I kind of hope that this season was what's going to happen to the Jets because, you know, full disclosure, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers hater. And you know what? I'm entirely surprised that things have worked out the way that they actually did. I'm impressed.
Impressed by who?
Yeah. I'm impressed just by the entire Jets organization.
The Jets can out-Jets the Jets. Just when you think it's going good.
Like, they Jets to, like, they Jets to the second degree. You know, I did not have Woody Johnson coming out as the next Jerry Jones, the next Al Davis out here.
David Tepper.
You know, yeah, I did not have that on my bingo card, man. And I got to say, I feel real bad for all the Jets fans out there. But, man, it's made for some fantastic sports talk radio listening.
Oh, yeah, the calls. It's too easy. It's a layup for all of us.
It's been great. So, like, congratulations to you guys. That's been real nice. It's great for me to listen to. Full disclosure, I'm a Raiders fan. So it's been a rough season for us. And it's certainly tempered the disappointment of my own season watching somebody else have a worse time than us.
You're a Raiders fan. You remember the Raiders-Giants game last year?
Oh, yeah. No, it's funny because my boy Randy, who's a big Giants fan, called me. He's like, thank you. This is the end to the Danny Dimes legacy. I can't wait to be done with this dude. And I was like, it's an ACL. He's going to be back next year. But, you know.
Yeah, he's back, and Tommy DeVito's back, and Tommy DeVito threw two interceptions in that game, and the Giants lost 30-6 to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, no, and I don't know, man. It's certainly been a disappointment with Antonio Pierce this year.
Yeah, because you kind of, similar to the Jets, you kind of knew that too. Like, this guy, like, it almost never works. You fired Josh McDaniels. Like, you went to him, and you knew that that wasn't really going to be a thing. They made a cool video of him, you know, taking the job, but he's not an NFL head coach.
Yeah, I think the thing I'm most disappointed in is, man, we played button up so well the last half of last year. Like, we weren't getting penalized. We were, you know, no.
They bought in. I will say that. They did buy in and kind of rallied around him, but I think that was just the contrast between Josh McDaniels, nerd, coming out of the Belichick, do your job, Patriot tree, and trying to apply that in Las Vegas with these guys that are smoking black and milds and playing basketball in the locker room after the game. Is not the vibe, not the culture of the Raiders. And then Antonio Pierce comes in with his all-black Air Forces being a former player, and they could get jiggy with that. They were not rocking with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I don't know. I had my hopes up. You know, I'm a perennial optimist. No matter what happens next year, if we get Shador, who I don't really want, I'd rather have Cam Ward. But whatever we do, I'm going to get my hopes up next year, and I'm going to be ready to get hurt again.
Yeah, it's been tough to be a Raiders fan. Thanks for the call, Rich, and the walk down memory lane. Bradley Beach, good spot down there. Not far from DJ's in Belmar. You guys know, or maybe you don't know. 888-808-1019. Let's keep it rolling. Brian in Red Bank, down in the same area.
Oh, Center Fizzies, Centerfolds, great spot.
After the bar, when it's still open at night, it's like, hold on, we don't have to go home yet.
Till like 4 a.m. When it opened at 4 a.m.?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if I gave you a beer. I used to go there and give the DJ a beer when I got there.
Probably.
I'd be half in the bag.
I was underage in there DJing when I started. I was 19.
Breaking a law. but you know, the one thing I always appreciate about Centerfolds, before I move on to sports points, the one thing I always appreciated about it was the ethnic diversity of the dancers. And this is coming from a, you know, an Irish white dude.
Yeah, that was intentional.
There was like Dominicans, whites, black girls, you know,
different body sizes, shapes, ages.
Yeah. Everything. It was like Ben and Jerry's. It was tremendous.
And it changed. They had shifts. And, shout out to Kira. It would probably get back to Kira. But Kira was the manager. That there was a method behind the madness. And I knew all those girls. Yes.
Oh, loved it. Because you go to some places like Delilah's, the last guy I mentioned. Delilah's wound up being all Russian girls, right? You know, which is fine. But,
yeah,
you know,
but for a while, they definitely had a type that was coming in there and a pipeline of, like, we know where they're funneling them. Anyway.
Anyway, sorry. This is not where you want to go, I'm sure. But anyway, I haven't heard your thought. You're a Yankees fan, correct?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about Soto? I haven't had a chance to listen to you lately. But
you got to rewind in the free Odyssey app. Today was a day, you know, when I opened, I just was leaning into what Hal Steinbrenner said, and it made me feel good as a Yankee fan that, like, Hal Steinbrenner is going to battle for him. He's going to fight for him. They're in it. They're not going to just say, oh, well, we can't afford it because the richest owner in the sport is interested in them. They're like, no, we're in it to win it. We're in the mix. There's no player we can't afford. Like, that type of energy.
See, I heard it a different way, maybe because I'm a Mets fan and I want them to. Maybe that's why. But,
yeah, I think some of the Mets fans on the fan heard it a different way.
But I just think, I think Steve Cohen's going to make the biggest offer, and I think Soto's going to sign with us. And who knows? It might be some point 8-9 years from now where I'm like, oh my God, we got this guy still. But, you know.
No, but you're supposed to think that way because, like, that's how you've been conditioned to think, and you should, right? When the Wilpons sell the team and you get this $20 billion owner that can light money on fire, you're supposed to think that we're in on every free agent and we're going to make the highest offer. And if this is a free agent that really wants all the money, top dollar, we got him. Thanks for the call, Brian. 888-808-1019. No more centerfolds conversations. I just was using that as an analogy, you know, talking about me flexing at Sapphires, spending some money at the door when they didn't think I was going to spend money at the door. Hal Steinbrenner is ready to spend money at the Boris Juan Soto door. So don't tell yourself what he's not going to do. Don't tell yourself where he's not going to go. He basically came out there today and told you there is no walk-away number. We can sign any player we want to sign. 888-808-1019. Now we've got the Juan Soto, Hal Steinbrenner conversation in the air, the Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke conversation in the air. When we come back, I will defend Woody Johnson just a smidge, just a little bit. Somebody's gotta just see it from a different angle. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Hello. Picked a good week not to get fired. This has been fun. 888-808-1019. Watching a Knick game. I haven't brought that up, but we're in the second half now. Oh, they hooping. Jalen Brunson. I mean, I think he had 23 in the first half. And I think almost all the Knicks starters were in double digits. All of them except Josh Hart. He's got 9. They're out in Phoenix playing against the Suns without Kevin Durant. Yo, KD, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Bing bong. That seems like it was like 5 years ago now. It was 5 years ago now that KD was in Brooklyn with the Nets. Nets don't need him now. We got Cam Johnson. Yeah, pretty soon we're going to get to the NBA conversations, the NHL conversations, because the football season's a wrap. And like, how much can you really talk about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and tanking and losing games? And I don't know. Maybe the Giants, maybe the Jets, they'll give us something else to talk about. Who knows? We'll be watching. We love the NFL. Back to the phones we go. Brian is in Mattawan. What's up, Brian? You're next.
What's up, Keith? So it's been a while since I called, but I listen to it all the time. I just got it's a funny story. I called you almost a year to the date about going to my either son's football game or going to see Tommy DeVito's
debut. I remember, yes.
Okay, so we're in the same damn predicament this week.
You're going to the game.
I got a football game, or do I go see Tommy again? But how crazy is that? Again.
The universe never unconnects. You know, it was written in the stars.
It's madness. And then the only reason why Matt is doing this is because we're all upset, and he wants to see people in the stands, especially with Giant jerseys. Because I went to the Redskins game, and then there was so many Redskins fans there. I remember I went to the bathroom and was like, I yelled, is this a home game?
Yeah,
like,
it's strange. I mean, you would think they have no fans after what they just went through, but a new owner, a new head coach, new quarterback changes that pretty quickly.
It's just crazy. It's like we just go there, we show up, we support, and then it's the same outcome. You know what I'm talking about, because your Cowboys aren't doing the same thing. And I just wish the Mara family would just listen to this radio station, just really see what they're doing to our fans. And I'm happy for Tommy, but we saw Jake Fromm and Tommy DeVito in the last 4 years. Like,
Mike Glennon.
Yeah, Mike Glennon, old man Glennon. Like, we've been through the rough. I mean, it's time for a change, and he's got to take a step back. And then we get to listen to Daboll say, oh, we're going to review the tape. We'll talk about it. We're going to review the It's
getting
bad.
Old fast.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's getting old fast.
But well, thanks a lot, Keith. I'll probably go like a sucker that I am and go to the game.
Yeah, you
got to
go.
Give you a call on Monday.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Go enjoy the game as much as you possibly can. Like, that's what I say. We love the NFL. Even though our stadium here isn't that great, the tailgating is great. The tailgating is always fun. It's once you enter the building. And I don't know. I don't believe that Tommy DeVito is going to have much success. You know, I just think the Buccaneers, they're, 4-6? The Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield, who was lighting it up earlier in the year stat-wise. He lost Chris Godwin. He lost Mike Evans. They're getting Mike Evans back. Who is going to stop Mike Evans? Drew Phillips? I don't know, man. I also know that the Buccaneers had a bad stretch of games where they lost 4 in a row. They lost to the Ravens, but they put up 31 points. Follow me here. They lost to the Falcons, but they put up 26 points. They lost to the Chiefs, but they put up 24 points. They lost to the 49ers, but they put up 20 points. So to beat the Buccaneers, you're going to have to score touchdowns. You're going to have to put up more than 20 points. You're going to have to score. And then your defense is going to – I don't see it, man. I do not see it. I do not see Tommy DeVito coming in and getting the ball to Malik Nabers more effectively than Daniel Jones. I do not see Tommy DeVito coming in and running the ball like he did at times last year. Maybe Tyrone Tracy can get off a little bit. Wandale Robinson, Darius Slay. I don't know if they get those guys going. Theo, I just don't see it. But maybe that's why we will all be tuned in to watch. That's why we all will be watching Sunday at 1 o'clock. And if you're a Giants fan, go. Because this might be the last time you can go and feel something and believe. And I just laugh at everybody that's calling to say they want to sell tickets. Tommy DeVito is not a ticket mover. I made the joke about, like, what are you going to sell, 100 extra tickets because now his friends and family are going to come again? Like, it's not that much of a needle mover. It really isn't. He isn't a quarterback that you drafted that was waiting in the wings. It's not like Drake May popping out. Like, you saw this last year. I don't expect it to be successful. And you should actually be cool with that as a Giants fan, because I's got to be on having a top five pick and picking your quarterback of the future. 888-808-1019. Ben is up in Connecticut on the fan. What's up, Ben?
Keith, welcome back, man. We missed you.
Thanks. You know, I had to take a little bit of break from things, but I'm refreshed and ready to rock.
Awesome. It's so funny. I was like going on your social media trying to figure out where you were, but like you said, you didn't post much.
I deleted the apps. I deleted the apps from my phone. I have a 1.5-year-old kid that if you do not watch him, he is eating garbage. If you do not watch him, he's sticking his hand in a garbage disposal. Like I deleted the apps. I don't need them. I use them to promote myself and my show. I don't need them when I'm on vacation, but it is what it is.
I respect that. Family comes first.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about Brian Daboll, and you know, don't get me wrong, I'm definitely not calling for his job here or anything, but, and we all know Jones isn't good, and that certainly didn't help. But as you said, Wink Martindale was a central reason for the, you know, limited success this team has had under Daboll. And listen, I've seen many coaches and players and whatever not get along, but still put egos aside because they both understood they were good at their jobs and needed each other. But Daboll decided to kind of run Wink out of town, and you know, he's kind of had a little limited history here of throwing guys to the alligators, you know, mm-hmm. so to speak. And if you're going to act like the king, which he does, then the buck has to stop with you. And I just think at some point we need to kind of acknowledge that there are some kind of major red flags with the way he runs.
Absolutely.
The operation.
There's red flags with his play calling. There's red flags with his decision making in games. There's red flags with, like, in the beginning of the season, why do you not have a healthy kicker prepared to go? Like, that's on you, coach. You're supposed to leave no stone unturned. Like, your game plans have to be better. You're losing these close games, and it's a game of inches. Those calls in the games, I mean, they're on you. And I know you can put it on Daniel Jones, or you can put it on players, but, like, at the end of the day, man, look at the teams that are successful. Why are the Chargers successful all of a sudden? Why are the Steelers back in it? Why is Andy? Totally. Why was Andy Reid undefeated for a straight? Like, it's the head coaches and what they're able to do, and obviously the quarterback helps a ton, but I don't know. We give Daboll this pass. We give Daboll this pass off of what he did in Buffalo. What did he do? Like, we give him this pass off of, oh, he won Coach of the Year. So what? He was just, that's who they wanted to give it to based off the roster that they had and them exceeding expectations. But all of that was like, it wasn't a good thing.
Absolutely. And last point, and this kind of goes to Joe Shane as well, but they're kind of acting like they got here with Jones's contract in place. Like, that's not what happened. This group after year one decided that Jones was good enough for them to give a contract to, and they gave him a big contract.
They did not have the balls. They did not have the guts to say, we're not paying you the rate for NFL quarterbacks because we don't believe in you. But we all saw them come in and not pick up Daniel Jones's rookie option for $22 million, which told us all they didn't believe in him. So, like, it's exactly, like, what are we talking about?
That kind of shows, it does, Keith, maybe show, like, a little, I mean, at least it was, like, a lack of confidence, right? Because they were kind of like, ah, you know, we did win a playoff game, so I guess we have to pay him now. But, I mean, you guys won the franchise, you know? It's your decision.
They made it seem like they had to do it. You won a playoff game, but if you never believed in the guy, if you brought in Tyrod Taylor to potentially usurp the guy, if you were setting him up for failure in practice, if he was injury prone and you knew that about him, then like you didn't have to do that. And then even to not bring Saquon back that first year and play games with Saquon because he's quote unquote a running back, he was not.
Yep.
Like, as I went back and I looked at these Tommy DeVito games, and the games that he won, I'm like, Man, he had Saquon. And then to think about the best year that Daniel Jones had, he had Saquon. And to hear them say things, oh, we're not paying a quarterback $40 million to hand it off to a running back. Well, what about a screen pass throwing it to him? Well, what about a check down throwing it to him? Saquon is a weapon.
That was crazy.
He's not just a running back, and you let him go to the Eagles. You're bugging out. That blood is on your hands.
Totally. And, you know, I hope this isn't, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking here, but the fact of the matter is they gave $5 million to a backup quarterback who's not even playing in Drew Locke, and they also gave $6 million to Devin Singletary. If you add that up, that's $11 million, and Barkley makes like 12 and a half.
Yeah.
So what and, are we talking about here? Like, what was the money?
I would have done that to keep him away from my arch rival, the team in Philadelphia. I would have done that 10 times out of 10, and I wouldn't have played the game like, hey, go test the market and come back. Like, it's foolish. It looks foolish. And you know what? If the Giants go out there and get embarrassed in MetLife Stadium again and boos rain down and the Buccaneers put up 30, 40 points on them, and then we all, oh, well, you know, you'll hear the Giants postgame show on the Fan, and the fans call it Giants extra point, whatever it is, and then Sunday Night Football rolls around, and it's Eagles versus Rams for the whole country to see, and Saquon goes out there and runs for another 152 touchdowns. What are we going to be doing on Football Monday?
Absolutely, and also, you know, it's important to note that, like, this is not a team that's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's we're competitive, but we don't have a good quarterback, so we can't win. It's like this team, again, is among the worst in the league. We lost to the other worst team in the league, making us probably the worst.
Yeah, the Giants are officially the worst team in the league, and they've been one of the worst teams over this stretch for the last 12 years.
Absolutely. And you know, for them to make a whole big show about how it's, like, basically Jones's fault. I mean, I understand. We all know Jones is done, and he shouldn't have got paid in the first place. But I guess I just wanted to call in and say, like, let's not give Dable a pass and pretend like he walked into the situation. He created it.
No, he doesn't get a pass from me. Thanks for the call, Ben. I think he's gotten way too many passes. Even just his demeanor, the way he acts, the way he carries himself. You know, and we got a break here. 888-808-1019. When he first came in, I liked him. He seemed like a player's coach. Maybe he should have kept the pounds on. He was wearing the Jordans. They get that first win. He goes into the locker room. He tells whoever's controlling the music, hey, play Juicy. It was all a dream. He's living the dream. He's the coach of the New York Football Giants. They go get that first win against the Tennessee Titans, and he's on top of the world. And then they go on that season, and he's a riverboat Ron. He's going for it, and he's getting it. He's going for a fourth and one. He's getting it. He's going for two. He's getting it. Like, they're able to beat teams like the Ravens with Lamar Jackson. They're able to beat the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. They're able to surprise teams. I remember doing the show with Kim Jones every Thursday interviewing players and Giants fans saying, oh, no, they can't win. Oh, they're not going to win. I'm like, no, hold on. They've got something here. But that all evaporated very quickly after last year. And then the way that he handled the Wink Martindale situation, it's just, I don't know. It's gotten old fast. And he seems like a guy, him and Dable, they seem like guys that have been guaranteed a decade here, and they're too comfortable. You know what? The enemy of progress is comfort. You need to be uncomfortable. You need to feel a sense of urgency. You can't feel like your job is guaranteed, because then you kick back with your feet up like we saw him in Hard Knocks and not do his job. I was telling Connor, my producer tonight, remember in Hard Knocks where Shane made that joke with the GM of the Carolina Panthers? Like, yeah, you know, me and you should be doing this for 10 years, or hopefully we'll be doing this for the next decade or something. Why are you thinking about a decade of doing this job? Focus on doing your job today. 888-808-1019. That's what I'm trying to do. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, let's get back into it. Keith McPherson on the Fan, you heard? 99-81, the Knicks over the Suns. I was just ranting before the break about Joe Shane and Brian Dable. There's a report out there that Joe Shane is not liked in the Giants locker room because he's playing funny with the money, man. The whole Nick Cloud situation, tried to get him to take less money. Now they're shutting down Daniel Jones to save themselves money potentially, right? There's no guarantee. There's an injury guarantee, but there's no guarantee that Daniel Jones goes out there and gets hurt. But we see this practice in the NFL. We knew that we would get to this at some point. And Daniel Jones, we've seen enough of him playing quarterback anyway. 888-808-1019. So now Tommy DeVito take two. And Drew Lock is still QB two. And I said there was going to be a point in time tonight where I would defend Woody Johnson. What? The same Woody Johnson that owns the Jets? Yeah. I mean, the hit piece that they put out was well done. I didn't get into all the, you know, nooks and crannies of it yesterday, because yesterday was more just the shock and the Jets are terrible, end the season. I knew it. It can't get any worse. What? Bench Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, as I looked through some of the things, I started to actually try to, like, reason and you know, think and read between the lines. And I always say, believe half of what you hear. Something like that. Believe half of what you see, none of what you hear. As I'm trying to pull up the Woody Johnson stuff. But basically, I'm like, okay, all of this stuff, it's Woody's fault, Woody's fault, Woody's fault from, you know, different sources. And I don't know, Joe Douglas hasn't come out to speak yet. Now, he's not gonna, because he's gonna get hired somewhere else and he's not gonna, you know, drag Woody Johnson. But obviously, like, you know, who would have been able to tell all of this? Who would have been privy to all of this info on the inside? And follow me here, right? So Rob Saleh gets fired. He should have been fired last year. I remember getting on the Fan and said, you know, call me up and tell me three good qualities about him as a head coach. What are the three best things he does as a coach of the Giants? And don't tell me he's a defensive mind. He helps with the defense because they have Jeff Ulbrich. Oh, Jeff Ulbrich becomes the head coach. So he fired Rob Saleh. I can't be so mad at him for firing Rob Saleh when he should have been fired last year. It was premature this year. We don't know how this year would have went. It also was a stupid move because you put Jeff Ulbrich in that position. But I understand Woody was probably ready to fire this guy at any point in time. He had a terrible record. They didn't win. He talked about receipts. He was just a clown show, literally. He didn't know when to call timeouts. He was a cheerleader on the sidelines. He let them wear Grinch costumes and bunny rabbit costumes, let them wear Mike White t-shirts. So firing Rob Saleh when he did, I know it alarmed everyone. Week five, you don't do that. You're competing for the division. You're 2-3. But, like, that was going to happen anyway, and it actually happened late. 888-808-1019. Firing Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas also was a dead man walking. We knew that after Rob Saleh got let go in the press conference that he had. We knew he was just going through the motions. He had a terrible record. The worst record. He made a lot of mistakes. He made huge misses. You get the number two pick. You can't miss on these quarterbacks multiple times. You can't miss on a Mekhi Becton. You can't keep going out there with Zach Wilson. You also can't default into having Zach Wilson as the backup behind Aaron Rodgers you can't. That's the general manager's general job to manage all of that. So Joe Douglas, him firing Joe Douglas during his bye week, I mean, he could have been fired sooner as well. It's just now we're going to say, oh, it's Woody. He fired Rob Saleh without consulting Joe Douglas. Why the hell does he have to ask Joe Douglas something that we all knew? And then the conversations about, like, players and personnel. Bryce Huff. Okay. He blocked Bryce Huff's extension. Bryce Huff couldn't get on the field with the Eagles. Bryce Huff got paid a lot of money by the Eagles. There's no guarantee that Bryce Huff would have been the same Bryce Huff this year. I understand people saying, oh, this defense is different and Bryce Huff would have helped. Yeah, there's that theory too. But him not paying Bryce Huff, I don't know. You use that money elsewhere. And I don't know if that's a decision that we're really going to think about in the future about Bryce Huff. I don't think Bryce Huff is getting a gold jacket. I don't think he's going to be a guy that we think about the Jets missing on. It's just that he was homegrown. You developed him and you should have given him this. Nah, I don't think that's that big of a deal. I really don't. And I don't think that him being here this year would make that much of a difference. 888-808-1019. Okay, the talk about Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy and Alan Lazard, that trade. Him not letting that trade go through. The biggest part about that is that they were going to trade and get, I think they were going to get a day two pick. No, it was Lazard and a day two pick for Jerry Jeudy. No, I don't have any problems with that. You know why? Because Lazard came here to play not with Zach Wilson. He came here to play with Aaron Rodgers. And in the beginning of the season, before he got hurt, Alan Lazard looked like Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard is better than Jerry Jeudy. Steve Smith came out last year and absolutely destroyed Jerry Jeudy. Basically said on NFL Network, I wouldn't tell any team to sign you, any team to trade for you. Woody Johnson heard that. He definitely heard that. And there's so much talk about Woody Johnson hearing the fans and following social media, and probably, you know, there's a bunch of Jets podcasts and YouTube shows. I'm sure he's tapped in. He's probably listening to your Jets Spaces. He's probably listening to the fan. There's enough Jets fans here. So when people were talking about Alan Lazard last year, oh, he's checked out. He was a healthy scratch. Maybe he was thinking about that, but I think he thought against it because he's also attached to Aaron Rodgers. I can't trade this guy before I see him play with Aaron Rodgers. So that whole thing about Jerry Jeudy had his best game last week. Had a big play with Jameis Winston. But the Browns are cooked, whatever. Tyron Smith, I told you guys that was going to be a mistake. But it's a one-year deal. It's a minor mistake. And you needed to fix that offensive line to try to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. And that's another thing. Everybody talking about Aaron Rodgers is injured. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Aaron Rodgers. Then shut him down. Tyrod, go. He's a 40-year-old man about to be 41 next week, 2 weeks from now. Then shut him down. He's not injured. There's a difference between being hurt and injured. Everybody's hurt at this point in the NFL season. But going back to the last couple of things before we break here, 888-808-1019 for the Jets fans to call in as I try to put up a little bit of a defense for Woody Johnson as everybody is trying to burn him at the stake. You're supposed to do that. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is back for the sequel, take two. Add more talent. Add Tyron Smith. Add Mike Williams. That was a great thing. With the whole pork roll, egg, and cheese. That was a great thing, getting Davante Adams. Maybe they overpaid for him, but so what? That's what happens, right? The Knicks overpaid for Mikal Bridges. That's what you do when you want to pair up guys like Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers. I can't be so mad at him for bringing Davante Adams here, one of the best in the business. Maybe the stuff like benching Tony Adams, you shouldn't meddle in the decision-making as far as player personnel and who's out there. But I think we're blaming him too much. I think we're putting everything on. Every bad decision was him. All the mistakes were him. It was him. It was him. I think he wanted a seat at the table because he owns the team. He deserves a seat at the table, especially when the guys at the table are embarrassing him. I think Woody Johnson is guilty of being a fan of the Jets and wanting to please fans and wanting to give fans a return on their investment with Aaron Rodgers being here as a savior, and it just did not work out right. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan. I've got 2 hours left. Call up and join the show. We'll be right back.